What happens when the sheep fire the shepherd? Happy Valentine's Day and welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. The Jews were accustomed to thinking of themselves as the special flock of God, even though their own scriptures revealed a pretty dismal track record of following him. When the shepherd finally showed up in person, there was outright revolt. But were they dismissing the shepherd or themselves? Maybe Jesus' fold is made up of whoever will hear his voice and follow. Here's Jim with more of The Good Shepherd 90 and 9.
Turn to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus again picks up this analogy, this teaching tool about sheep. In John chapter 9, a very significant miracle takes place. Jesus heals a blind man. You may remember the story. He healed him, and then he disappeared. The blind man is recognized as now seeing, and the official authorities, the religious authorities, are examining him to see how this can be. So they first call in his parents. You remember the story? And they say, "You say this man was born blind. How does he now see?" The parents said, "We can tell you one thing for sure. He was born blind. How he sees now, we don't have a clue." And so they ask him, "Well, how was it you see?" And he said, "Well, a man did this and this, and I did what he said, and I see." "Well, who was this man?" He really doesn't know. So the authorities are frustrated because this is a significant miracle and there's no explanation. And they can't deny the evidence because the man is now seeing. Jesus introduced himself to the man who is now seeing. And the man goes back to the Jewish authorities and said, "I've got the answer to your riddle." He said, "The one who healed me is called Jesus." And that set them off. As a result of that, when they couldn't discount and discredit, they excommunicated the man. That's in chapter 9. And in verse 34, John 9:34. They answered and said to him, "You are completely born in sin, and you are teaching us?" And they cast him out. Now, what was it he was trying to teach them? Well, look at verse 30. "Why is this a marvelous thing that you do not know where he," Jesus, "is from, and yet he has opened my eyes? Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of someone who was born blind. If this man, Jesus, were not from God, he could do nothing." I like this guy. He's one of those fellows I want to shake hands with in heaven. He stood, faced the lions, and told them, "You are deliberately self-deceived. You are refusing the obvious evidence that this one who is known as Jesus is of God. He opened my eyes. God doesn't do that kind of thing for sinners. God does that kind of thing for people who know him. This man obviously is from God." And their retort was, "You are teaching us? You are born in sin. Who do you think you are to teach us? We're the religious leaders here." And they cast him out. Now that cast him out is the key. They excommunicated him. They threw him out of the Jewish faith. They discarded him, discredited him, renounced him, put him outside the covenant of Jewish religion. Because he claimed that Jesus was of God, and that was considered blasphemy. Now notice what happens. Jesus heard that they had excommunicated him, and when he found him, Jesus said to him, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped Jesus. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. Now some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, Are we blind also? And Jesus said, If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, We see. Therefore your sin remains. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. To whom is he speaking, brothers? Who? He's talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to the Pharisees. He is trying to help them understand the significance of where they have positioned themselves. They have taken offense at his claim to be God. They have excommunicated one who claimed or confessed Jesus to be God. They have thrown that man outside of Judaism. Jesus takes the side of the man born blind. Now both he and the man born blind are outside. The man born blind was blind. Now he sees. Sees what? Not just physically, but he sees spiritually that Jesus is God and worships him. You understand that? So the one who is blind now sees, not only physically, but spiritually. The people who say, we see, were the ones who had judged Jesus and had cast this follower of Jesus outside, placed him outside the fold of Judaism. They had excommunicated him. So now Jesus says, it's for this judgment I came into the world. Those who are blind will see. Will see what? See the truth of who he is. Their blind eyes will be opened. They will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who say, we see, who say we are not blind, they will become blind. Blinded. What does that mean? That means that the point of no return has been reached in Jesus' appeal to the Jewish nation to be the Messiah, to be their king. That means that in the treatment of the man born blind who is now seeing, in their excommunication of him, they have crossed the Maginot line. They have crossed the point of no return. And he then uses the illustration of the shepherd and the sheep to help them see that. In the first part, the first movement of this illustration or this parable, Jesus makes the point that every shepherd in that community understood. Years ago, the sheep market used to be outside of St. Stephen's Gate. Those of you who have been to Israel, remember St. Stephen's Gate or the Sheep Gate? It's on the eastern wall. It's farther up the wall than the famous Golden Gate, the one that's closed. When you go up that same wall, up through the valley, the Kidron Valley, and you come up to what's called St. Stephen's Gate. It's called St. Stephen's Gate because tradition says that's where Stephen was stoned to death. But it's a gate in the outer wall of the city of Jerusalem. It's also called the Sheep Gate because in the days of Jesus, and in the days up until just a dozen or 15 years ago, the sheep market was located just outside, along the wall, just outside that gate to the north. I went to the sheep market that, I think it was Friday morning, I forget whether it's Friday morning or Thursday morning, and all of the shepherds in the area bring their sheep in that they want to sell. Now, they may be selling them for food, they may be selling them for stock, whatever, but they would bring in the sheep that they would want. And they would bring their whole flock or portions of the whole flock of sheep with them for this occasion. And while they're off selling and buying and dickering about those sheep that are for sale, they would put the rest of their flock in this large sheepfold. One whole corner, the southern corner of the market there, had been prepared. There were barriers put up, and there was a gateway or an entrance into that sheepfold that was probably 5 feet, 6 feet wide. So the shepherd would put the flock that he didn't intend to sell there. His sheep were there. And there was a porter. There was someone who stood there and who watched over all of these sheep. Now, this was a common occurrence in the villages all around Jesus in the first century time. Each village would have its huge sheep fold. Usually, it was stacks of stones built up to make a wall, and the wall would go all the way around, and then there would be someone from the village that would be appointed to be the porter. Their job would be to watch over all the flocks of all the families that would be in this fold through the night. In the morning, the shepherd would come, and I saw this happen. The shepherd would come, and he would whistle a tune, or hum a tune, or simply talk, and out among all those sheep, you would see heads bop up. And the shepherd would then usually whistle or hum. He'd walk into the fold. He would whistle or hum. The porter would let him go in. And he would whistle or hum. And all those heads that bopped up would turn and form a flock and follow him out. Other sheep didn't even bother. They didn't even look up. It was an incredible experience to stand there and watch that. And I watched four or five shepherds come and do the same thing. They would walk up, the porter would recognize who they were, knowing that, you know, they had their flock in there and he was watching their flock. He would usually tip the porter or pay the porter whatever was due, and then he would walk into the midst of all those sheep and he would simply whistle or hum or talk, and you'd see individual sheep, their heads would pop up and they'd begin to move toward that shepherd. And as he moved out through the door, out through the portal, out of the fold, his sheep would follow him. The rest of the sheep would stay there. Now that's what Jesus is saying. Look at it. He says, "He who enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper or the porter opens," the guy in charge of the whole big sheep fold there, "and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes to the front, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." So do you see in your mind what's happening here? You see the sheep, the shepherd, the porter speaking, the sheep, the individual sheep who were part of his particular flock would recognize his voice, form a flock, and they'd go back out to pasture. You got that in mind? The rest of the sheep would just stay there. They would stay there till their shepherd came. Now, what's the point of Jesus speaking this parable, this illustration at this time? He is saying that the blind man, who now has physical sight and spiritual sight, has heard his voice. He belongs to Jesus. And while the religious authorities cast him out, in reality, that was insignificant. What had really happened was he had heard the voice of the shepherd and had moved outside the fold. The fold here represents Judaism. It represents the religious system that had been established by God through Moses at Mount Sinai, that special covenant relationship between God and the Jewish people. To that covenant people, God sent the prophets, gave the land, gave the law, gave the Old Testament scriptures, gave special protections, special provisions made for them. In the midst of them, God planted the temple, instituted the temple worship system, gave them annual rituals by which they would celebrate God's presence and blessing. They were a privileged people. The Jewish people, the people of God, the Jewish people of God in the Old Testament. They were a special people, enjoying a very special relationship with God. Now, in the person of their leaders, the Jewish religion has rejected the God who gave them that covenant. And that God, Jesus, has appeared in the context of the Jewish fold. The scripture tells us that all 33 and a half years of our Lord's life was spent as he preached to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Very few Gentiles had opportunity to hear the Lord Jesus preach and teach. Very few saw the miracles that he did. Here and there a centurion expressed faith in Christ. The Syrophoenician woman, when she first asked a blessing from the Lord Jesus, was rebuffed. He told her in no uncertain terms, she was a Gentile and he did not come to minister to Gentiles. He came to minister to the covenant people to whom the promises have been made. And her response was, but sir, the dogs at least get to lick the crumbs that fall from the children's table. And Jesus, in response to that, said, that's great faith, lady. And based upon that, he gave to her her request. Aside from the Syrophoenician woman, a centurion or two, there are no Gentiles who hear the gospel from the lips of the Lord Jesus and respond in faith to him. None. All 12 of the apostles were all Jews. Mary Magdalene and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they're all Jews. He specifically told the 70 when he sent them out, don't go to the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the whole focus of Christ's ministry for 33 and a half years on earth in the flesh was to this people, the people who were inside this corral, the sheep who were inside this corral. And the corral was the provision that God had made through the Old Testament covenant with the law, the prophets, and all the benefits that he'd given. Now, that system, through its leaders, the scribes, Pharisees, priests, Levites, they are rejecting the shepherd. You see that? But the shepherd is calling from among all of those individual Jewish people, the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he is calling, and certain individual sheep within that Jewish community heard his voice, recognized his voice, understood the truth of who he was, and he leads them out of Judaism. To what? To the church. And on Pentecost, something absolutely new was born. The terms of God in the covenant relationship with the Old Testament people of Israel was suspended, and God brought a whole new thing into being in the church. And in the church, Jews and Gentiles are one. And all of those distinctions and all of those differences that were so marked out in the Old Testament are neutered. So that today, for instance, we are not bound as believers to the dietary restrictions of the Old Testament. Circumcision is not mandated for males who are Christian. We don't go to the temple at Jerusalem every year. We don't offer the blood of bulls and goats upon an altar. You see, it's a different phenomenon, a different system. If you please, a new corral, a new sheepfold is being created. And into this sheepfold, Jesus Christ is leading those who hear his voice, recognize his voice, and who will follow him. Now that is a profound theological, historic, biblical truth. What does Jesus use to illustrate this profound truth? Sheep. He draws upon the experience of the sheep and the shepherd, so common, so familiar among all of these people in the first century, to make the physical illustration of this profound paradigm shift. Later he would say, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft have I, like a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Therefore your house is left unto you desolate." You still have the building, but the God who dwelt there, who keeps his covenant promise with you, he's moved out. Your house is desolate. You have rejected the God of your fathers. And God is forming a flock made up of individual believers, individual sheep who hear his voice and who follow him. Now he goes on in the rest to add to that. Look at verse 7. "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Let's stop there for a moment. See, his promise is that he now, the shepherd, is the access point for every sheep. He will provide for them protection, security. He will provide for them life itself. Not just life, but abundant life. And abundant life doesn't mean a lot of earthly trinkets and physical wealth and transitory health. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about joyrides. In abundant life, he's talking about life that is deep, rich, full, the very life that God himself enjoys. So that in this new flock that he is forming, all who come to the Father by me, he said, and he who cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said, no one can come to the Father except by me. I'm it. I have the exclusive franchise. So everyone who comes into this new flock he's forming, called the church, everyone who comes must come by him. There is no other foundation laid. There's no other work. There's no other person. There's no other way. There's no plan B. Everybody who comes into the living body of Christ must come through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. I am the door. There is no other option, none whatsoever. He's the only point of access.
God's flock is not restricted to one ethnic group or one denomination. His church is invisible, made up of those who trust and follow the shepherd. This was new and confusing information to the religious elite, so Jesus spent some time teaching about the Good Shepherd and the 99. Jim will bring us the conclusion of this sermon tomorrow. If you'd like to get it on CD, we'll send it to you for a gift of $7 or more. Our 11-episode series is called Stories Jesus Told, Volume 2. You can get that CD album for an offering of $38 or more. Since 1968, Pastor Jim has used radio to tell people about new life in Christ and how we can grow in it. And the finances for the broadcast have always come from listeners, regular people like us, obeying the prompting of the Holy Spirit. If you're one of those being prompted, here's how to reach us. First, on the website, rightstartradio.org. You can donate securely online and browse around because you'll find quite a few helpful resources. The radio shows are available there. You can play them directly from our site, or play or download Jim's sermons without the radio edits. And you can subscribe to Right Start as a daily podcast on iTunes. Visit rightstartradio.org for that. Or mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. Or call us toll-free at 1-800-984-2313. That's 800-984-2313. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. How good is the Good Shepherd? Would you believe he became a sheep in order to save us? The third and final part of The Good Shepherd, 90 and 9, is coming up tomorrow. Please join us then for the next Right Start.